Mr. Jackson, Reel 7. Now, you're talking about how, you, after you'd had these continuous attacks, or rather intermittent attacks in the area, but lots of it, you were advised to apply for a pension. Can you tell us this story? It sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I forget who gave me the address, or wherever I got it out of my book. I went to Beak Street. Not at Beak Street, was it? In Westminster, anyway. And there's bloggers and there's two gents sitting at the table asking me all kinds of questions. What service I'd done, where I'd been, and what I'd done, and all of that. And I could twig that one was earwigging, if you follow what I mean, listening to one, while the other one's questioning me that. Keep writing notes and that. So when it all finished up, I got there. Had I ever applied for a pension? So, well, no, but I will do.
So a disability pension? Yeah. Is this because you... Yeah.
Because I did it so many times. So they granted me a pension for 12 months, 10 shillings a week.
Now, what did you feel about that?
Well, I'm not going to say.
You weren't happy?
I kept it. And so they said, at the end of 12 months, you can apply again, but also you can get stuffed up on yourself. If that's all I'm worth, you can, I'm not going to go up, please, sir, can I have some more? So I've never bothered. So I had it for 12 months.
Now, when was this? Roughly. And did the malaria stop?
No, I had it after that. I had it a number of times. Tax. Because I must have gradually got over it.
Now, what about the other physical and mental effects of your wartime service? Because you'd had a hard time. How had it affected you otherwise? Or was the malaria the main physical effect?
The Army in America. Since... Well, I'd make you laugh if I told you my history, but... So many things about them, that I suppose I took it more or less in my stride, most things. I've had skin cancer in the face.
Is that related to the war?
I don't know, it came a long while afterwards. So you don't know, do you? You can never tell. Because I was getting this rash, and my wife, she was the greatest. She kept saying, and I finished up 30-odd stitches in that face.
They cut it out. Yeah, so that was quite recently, was it?
Yeah, about 8 or 9 years ago.
And you think that possibly could have been,
who's to say? Because mind you, I say self-inflicted wound, because I used to wear hats and all that, but no. I've had them all, so. Of a night time, I think to myself, you ain't done bad, Tom.
Now, what about the mental effects? Had it left any scars mentally, what you'd seen and what you'd done?
Well, for a long time, you can't help but think of poor old so-and-so, poor old so-and-so. Yeah. Now, the first time, the first lot of blokes read it in the hurricane, he was leading up in front of me, and they said, now, keep so many paces apart, we're moving up towards the tortoise. And they said, keep X paces apart. And all of a sudden, bomb crashed, bang, and the bloke just... It was my first, and I went to pick him up. He got his arm up, his back twisted up, his back is in terribleness. But no, sea casualties. I suppose it affects some people, don't it? But yourself, cross your fuel up for the grace of God, go I, sort of thing. And
were you able to settle back down to civilian life? Because it sounds like you had a bit of trouble getting back to work. I mean, you know, getting yourself together. Did it take long to get used to being a civilian again?
I think you do, because you're used to them that time hours and discipline. But my brother, and I'll say I was the youngest one, I used to go round with having a few drinks, and I got round with them. And my wife, without my wife, she was the greatest person in the world. But so I was the youngest one of a crowd that got around. But previously, I used to be the fall guy, sort of thing. To see if the lane was clear for us all to go in.
But what I mean is, could you acclimatise to civilian life? Did you find it difficult?
No, I don't think I found it too hard. No, I've also, once you got over the sort of routines of it, I suppose, time, isn't it, of it? And at that time, I was living in the big house with my mother-in-law and my brother-in-law, and he'd been in the Navy, and he was about a month younger, or 2 months younger than me, and we used to go out.
Now, finally, did you keep in touch with your old comrades? Are you a member of that? Is there a 4th Battalion, Royal West Kent?
They have a reunion once a year.
Now, did you keep in touch and go to the reunion?
Yes.
Now, why was it important to you?
Because they were the blokes who I've lived and died with for 6 years when things were tough. I can laugh at all the good times and stupid things I've done now, but when I lived with them blokes, that old Doug Buckley, I told you, when I got sent on a skiing course, he phoned me up a fortnight ago. Now, Tommy Inkpen, when the reunion comes, he phones me to make sure I'm going. Then on the morning of the reunion, he phones again to make sure I'm going to be there.
Now, what are the reunions like? I mean,
Sonny Sherbert. So few of us left now that they always come in with a band and play our regimental march.
It's just the 4th Battalion, is it?
No, I forget what unit is down there. We go down to...
No, but is it just the 4th Battalion?
No, all the other people are there.
All the Royal West Kents, is it?
No, all the 4th Battalion. And I forget what unit is we actually... I think it's the Prince of Wales Regiment, something like that.
They host it.
For some years, you were never allowed to take ladies. In the last few years, I allowed you to... When my wife was alive, she used to come with me, and she always go and sit with Colonel Easton's wife.
Now, you've got a rather impressive statuette commemorating the VC.
Jack Hull.
Can you tell us how you got that? Because that was awarded to you, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, various people have phoned me and asked me to go and do things like you've done. And I used to say goodbye. I didn't want to know. So one year, these people, the Prince of Wales Regiment, got in touch with me. And I said no more times than a...
What were they asking you to do?
Apparently, they was running a scheme there, they called it the Jack Harmon Award. Over 12 months for corporals and such like, you know, and the top man gets a promotion, all that. And they wanted someone to go. So Colonel Easton kindly done me a favour, done a retreat, he had other engagements. And I got invited. So I said, no way am I going. And I can't, I had more excuses than a silly schoolboy. And then they said, what's wrong? I said, look, my family don't want me travelling about at the night time. I said, the way things are. That's no problem. They said, we'll send a car for you. Because I said, my son says, well, because if you can... he'd have taken me if I'd know.
But what did you have to do when you got there?
So, the car arrives one morning at the stipulated time. Big car, driver, and an escort. One was the commandant's driver, his car, and the other bloke was a corporal or a sergeant, I don't know, escort as well. VIP Tom Jackson walks out into the car. Down he goes to... Aldershot. So when I get in there, I'll go walking in there. I guess I'm taken to the sergeant's and WO's mess straight away. I'll get inside the door. There's a waiter, a tray, tea, coffee, so whatever you want, sort of thing. Sir, I'm getting all the sir for it. We looked up, there's all the warrant officers and that all in there. Dress uniform, blue, red, revered. Little me goes walking in, and of course, quicker than that, I can have what I like, which I should talk with them. Oh, because the RSM who brought me in, he had to go away for organise something. He came back for me. Then we walked, when the time came, I walked back to the mess, and there they lined up, a line of them, as I walked past, giving me the VIP treatment, the corporals and all that. Went in, and I'm laying back, and I forget who the officer was. At the table next to him was the RSM and me and various VIPs. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you silly great thing, all the things you've dodged, you haven't dodged this. So this RSM kept marking me cards, sort of thing. And there's one bloke with a different coloured uniform. I didn't realise I was on the next table. So all those things, so all of a sudden dinner is served and all that, and of course I'm getting that top table, getting the treatment and the drinks and all that coming up, because I'm hardly touch a drink, see. So the RSM kept marking me cards, so all of a sudden the Royal Toast comes, a Of course, I went to stand. You don't stand for the Royal Toast. I didn't know that. This bloke stood up. So I thought to myself, well, he's going to get a rocket. But apparently, he was out of the Australian, seconded for a course. And they still stand. So he was. So after dinner, I'm lying back, you know, sort of listening and all the speech, taking all the Sunday says, now I'll ask Tom Jackson to speak. Now I can bunny a bit, but I didn't know what to say or do. And they all about Jack Holman. So I said a few words, you know, made myself a clown, I suppose. When that finished, they all broke up around. As I got out, everyone's, several blokes obviously were going on to talk to. And everyone was sort of quizzing me. And I never got from here to that fireplace without being.
Now, had you presented the award then, the Jack Harmon Award? Is that what you were doing?
Oh, they presented.
Had you presented it to the candidate?
No, they presented that to me.
Right.
Because what? For going. I forgot to tell you that when they came, but they could present it. And of course, I wasn't ready for anything like this. I was cussing Colonel Easton under my breath, putting me on the spot. And that's what he presented me with.
And this is the Prince of Wales Regiment that laid all this
up? Yeah. Of course, they all sort of questioned me. So, of course, the RSM marked me cards. He said, when you've had enough, he says, give me the sign. So I thought myself, I'm not drinking or boozing like that. And all I'm doing is talking to every different people. So I gave him the sign and I'll tell you in a minute. And he went out and got things organised. When I walked out, there's the camp commandant of Aldershot and two or three other people all shake my hands at that. And one bloke carrying that out for me. I wanted that to carry that. Carried out, put it in the car, and they drove me home. I got home about 1 o'clock in the morning, I suppose.
It's a very nice trophy, isn't it?
And they brought me as far as the door, and he would not leave me until I got inside the door and locked that. That was his orders.
You must be very proud of the trophy. Yeah. It's a nicely done.
But then last year I went down to Canterbury. I think it was, 18 months ago, down to Canterbury, had a do it to Canterbury in the cathedral there, because I wouldn't go up to the barracks. I thought I won't be caught this time. So I went straight to the cathedral. My boy had driven me down there. So I was looking for an RSM. And there's all the VIP in it. What do I see? An RSM stick under his arm. So I said, excuse me, use the RSM. So I said, yes. Oh, directly introduced myself. But you come up to the barracks, he says. I thought, I wasn't going to march down with the band and everything. I was thinking that myself. Well, I didn't know that I had cars laid on. So after the service, we went back up into Canterbury Barracks. Then we had another session there.
Still the Prince of Wales, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they had a gun. They said, we'll send you a photograph. Of course, truth to know. Cutting out of a newspaper, it was. I reckon somebody must have had the correct photographs, I suppose, and kept them, and I've got a newspaper cutting.
So you're still in touch with the regiment?
Yeah, a little bit.
Thank you very much.